Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
American singer-songwriter El Perez has been performing around the Northwest music scene since 1997, and over the course of his career has self-released three albums. His first in 1997, titled Traveling Man. This was followed with 2000's Finally, and his 2003 third release, Next. El's latest album, Love Revolution, was recently released on Warrior Records. El performs music which has been described as something for everyone, with tones ranging from light rock to R&B, with a singer-songwriter flair and just a touch of Latin for flavorings. El is a captivating, soulful performer, and his seven-member live band has thrilled audiences for over a decade at festivals and around the USA, Mexico, Jamaica, Bahamas, Costa Rica, and Aruba. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got El Perez. Where are you in the world and how are you doing?
I am doing great. I am in the Pacific Northwest, just outside of Portland, Oregon. And I actually live in this area. I've relocated from Los Angeles. I grew up in Long Beach, California. Mm-hmm. So LA area. And I live in the Pacific Northwest for quite a while. A little different pace of life over here.
When you say different pace, is it LA faster energy-wise or slower? What's the difference between?
I think that obviously it's a little bit slower paced life in the Pacific Northwest. It's, you know, we get more rain. It's a little more slows down. There's not as much traffic. But you know what? We've got a great music community. You know, the nice thing about it is that you kind of get the big city without the traffic and without the millions and millions of people that you get in Los Angeles, you know, but I go there often. I mean, I travel often everywhere, obviously. But you know, I like when it slows down and, you know, when I was younger, I liked to be in the middle of it all. You know, I think true for most people, we like to be in the middle of the craziness and, I was part of it. You know, I liked it, you know, and I was at all the clubs, if I wasn't playing, I was at every club every night, yeah. All the things, doing all the things I probably shouldn't be doing. And, you know, and I found life got a little different for me as I switched directions, yeah. Focused more on my business and my music career and my music as a business. You know, I just needed a different pace and, you know, I had some family in this area and I've been here for quite a while now, you know, 20 years or so. And I like it. And I think I find that to be true with a lot of artists and actors and actresses as well. They, you know, you got that when you're doing the fast pace, you go do it. And then when you get to get off that train, you can get off that train, you know?
So you mentioned the traffic in LA, and I can attest because I've got family there. And I remember quite a while back, I was visiting and they gave me the car and I remember they live in Irvine in Orange County. And I was going to see a friend in West Hollywood and they said to me, okay, you need to leave by 2 o'clock because if you don't leave by 2 o'clock, you'll be in traffic for 6 hours. Right. And it still took 3 hours to get there. So I was like, yeah.
Right. It's funny. It's in different parts of the world. There's different types of traffic, like London, for instance. I had no concept because I've driven in LA and New York and wherever. I'm like, whatever. I got it. No, London's a whole different animal. When I was there last year, I was in London playing a bunch of shows and I had never really driven. And I thought, whatever. I got it. No, I don't got it. That's a whole different kind of traffic and the roads are narrow. And I'm like, nope. I need a driver. I need someone from here to handle this situation.
Yes.
And then somebody goes, oh, just jump on the tube. It's fine. I'm like, okay, it's fine to you locals that know how to navigate that. I said, hell no. I ended up just getting a driver. I called my label. I'm like, we're going to need a driver because one, I can't do this tube thing and be on time to any kind of gig. Two, me driving is forget it. I might kill somebody or someone's going to kill me. I don't even know what's going to happen. So London, so everywhere has, you know, it's different obstacles as far as traffic, but major metropolitan cities have a lot of traffic. Yep. And if you don't know how to navigate it and you're not from that area, Yeah, it can be tricky. Like I'm going to be at, I'll be in Orange County. I'll be in Anaheim for the NAMM show, the big national music convention that goes on every year. And it's at the end of the week. And I'll be in LA at the end of the week. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, meet some old, see some friends, see some people I know. I'll probably sit in a couple of shows. I'll you know, play all the latest, greatest gear that's coming out, you know, all the guitars. I don't need one more guitar, but we always kind of need one more guitar or one more piece of gear or one more microphone. And, you know, my house, I have a rehearsal studio downstairs and I own more guitars than I could ever play. And the truth is, I don't know if you're a musician. Are you a musician?
Passionate and love musician, but I've never actually played anything. So
I
like follow the music charts. I've got all the encyclopedias about the music charts and follow from that as an observation. I love going to concerts, love listening to music, but not actually ever have played.
As a musician, and most musicians will contest to this, I'm sure, and agree with me, we all have way too much gear, you know, and especially if you've done it for a lot of years, you know, you acquire, especially guitars and microphones and things that you like, recording gear. And if you have recording gear at home, and then, of course, you have your performance, it's just a lot of stuff, you know.
Yes.
And you look back at a 25-year career, and you go like, I want a lot of music gear. And you're like, what should I get rid of? And I'm like, you don't really want to get rid of any of it.
Yeah.
You know? And now I'm going to go to the National Riffing Convention and look at more gear. And I'm like, holy moly.
I'm going to be tempted.
Oh, I'm going to be tempted. It's going to be great. So, so music has always been a big part of my life since I was very young. You know, my grandfather played trumpet. And of course, my aunt and uncles had a band, and that's kind of what influenced me to be a musician even more. And, you know, high school, I played all the weekend parties. I was the band at every weekend kegger party, you know, the beer parties we'd have in high school. And I played all those, and I just always have played music. So it's been a long, long time playing music. And I still love it. I still get up and play. Probably I play every day, you know. I have guitars. I have a 3-level house, and every level has guitars or some instruments somewhere that I can pick up and be creative, because I just love doing it. Just I call it my home concerts. They're kind of some of my favorites, you know. I don't mind. I don't have an audience. I'm just sitting and playing for myself, whether I want to play something I wrote,
yes,
or maybe just here's a funny. I was playing an old Marvin Gaye song the other night on acoustic guitar. And somebody had mentioned, I used to sing it years ago. I used to have a band, and I did what we call cover bands, you know, sing cover music. Those pay. And, you know, being an original artist, that's something different. And I used to we never really hear you do covers anymore. I'm like, well, I know every cover. I'm not saying, I've progressed to a point where my catalog is big enough and I can do a 3 or 4 hour show and only do original music. I don't have to do covers, but I know them. And there's some fine covers that I love and enjoy to play. You know what I mean? A Marvin Gaye tune kind of popped up. Somebody mentioned it. You know, I remember you used to really get after the version you used to do, What's Going On. I said, love that song. But I thought, I don't really want to approach it like a cover band anymore. And so I have a show coming up, and the night before I go to LA, I have a show, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do a couple covers. I haven't done a couple covers in a long time. And I thought, what do I want to play? And I thought, oh, What's Going On? Somebody mentioned it to me. And I thought, well, I don't want to just get up there and do Marvin Gaye's version. I want to kind of have my own arrangement to it, you know? And so I was sitting around with my acoustic guitar, and I thought, oh, how about if I start it without a sax and it's more acoustic, and then the band comes in? And, you know, that's how I think, at least. I think all artists or musicians think that way. How can I put my own little spin on it and make kind of a cool version? And it was, and I'm looking forward to playing it. So I love my original music, but it's going to be fun to do an arrangement of a great old song. You know, What's Going On by Marvin Gaye was a great song. I wish I'd wrote that one.
Okay, so the great segue, referencing your original music. Let's dive into your creative brain. So from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes, what inspires that song or creativity? What motivates it? Is it easy every time? Let's unpack your creative brain and journey when you create a song.
Well, that's a great question. That's a good one. I like that. Creating music for me is probably more, I've thought about this because I've been asked different ways. That's a good way you asked, the way you asked it. I think it's an emotional journey for me. I think that when I get a snapshot of life, like, for instance, if I was to, let's say, break up with a girl, let's say we're doing a breakup song, you know, that's an emotional feeling that I feel. And how can I describe that? And of course, as a writer, you know, how is it new? We've heard that before. What is my personal take that I can share and make it interesting enough that I could share my story and share my pain, if you will? I like to call my music tragically sexy. And it's true. I drunkenly made this term up, and I got there's a story behind that. I'll tell you after this, but the term simply came from when you're diving into being sad. I don't want to make you, I mean, maybe you want to cry with me, but maybe you want to have an interesting listening to how I felt and how I can give you a visual of what I was feeling at that moment. What was happening right then? What was I seeing right then? And so those things start to go into my mind. Like, for instance, I have a single out called Believe Right Now. It comes from an experience I had. It's a true experience. I met that girl. She was standing there. I try to put the visual to what I was seeing into the mm-hmm. song and then give it some context. Believe, what does that mean? Well, everybody's, ooh, someone else as well. When you date and you're not 20 anymore, the questions, you always have the little answer and question segment of the date, and you go, well, that doesn't sound that interesting. Well, no, it's not that interesting. How do I make dating at middle age interesting? Well, what am I looking for? What is my personal feelings? And it was, what do I need from a woman? I need her to believe in me. If she believes in me, I'll do anything. How do I convey that in a song? Well, let me lay it out for you, you know. She's going to tell me about herself. I'm going to tell her about me. She's going to tell me about where she's been, and I'm going to tell her about where I've been. Mm. So I'm going to put this all into context, into a song. I got to have a hook because we are writing a song, and Believe is the hook. And now we have this context of a conversation between two people trying to get to know each other. And then we add some elements of, well, let's spice it up a little bit. Let's give them a little bit of the sexy insight to it of what really went on that date. And I open with it. I give it up right away, standing naked by the door, because she was when I wrote it. And we had that moment together. And it's funny, this person I wrote the song for comes to the shows once in a while. I don't date her anymore. We're friends. Yeah. And she always knows. She knows it's about her. And she goes, you really nailed that date and that whole entire experience we worked together. And I'm like, and it's cool. So, you know, that you can paint your picture and give people that imagery. And then they can relate their own feelings like, oh, I've been there before. Mm. I've felt that. And so it's a lot of context, but then there's also some visual aspects that I'm trying to paint that picture for my audience so that they can put themselves and see. It's like watching a movie.
Yeah.
Like if I do it well, then they watched my little movie. They saw what I saw. They felt what I felt, and they seen what I seen. And I can put it in a song, and then I give it a good hook, and there you go. You got a song.
I'm lending this from what you've just mentioned. So I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So mm-hmm. people process information differently. They're either visual, which is creating pictures, or it's mm-hmm. auditory. It's about the words, understanding the words and sentences. Or it's mm-hmm. kinesthetic, which is about the feeling, the body language, the energy, and the emotion. So a person's dominant means they're in that process most of the day. Then they've got a secondary and a tertiary one, which means they're in it less of the day. So mm-hmm. focusing specific on music, right? Whether you're listening to your own music or other people's music, are you seeing pictures when you hear the songs? Or are you hearing the words, or are you getting the feeling?
I think a little bit of seeing the picture and having that feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you an example of this, because remembering where I started from, what got me going on that path. It was an old song, even when I was young. It was a song by Bob Seger, Turn a Page. I knew it in the 80s, late 80s, but he actually wrote it in 72. Anyway, this song, Turn the Page by Bob Seger, to this day, I can tell you I wanted to be the person in that song. It's why I play music. It is absolutely 100% why I want and get why I understand it, because what he wrote was his experience, his vision, and everything he was living through. And then it also portrayed that he was the rock star. That he wasn't just the rock star. He had emotional feelings, personal experiences, and he dove it all into one song and made this great hit. And I remember hearing it and thought, I want to be that rock star. I want to be on the road. I want to get off that tour bus. I want to be eating at that crappy cafe in the middle of the night while I'm going to the next show. I want sweat rolling from my body. I can think of every lyric of that song because it was that influential to me, because that the song showed me that you could convey that and make people want to be that. I personally wanted to be that song. To this day, I can still play it on guitar.
Okay, so now when you're listening to music by other artists, are you able to just relax and listen as a listener and an observer, or is your creative, technical, musical brain unpacking what they've created?
A little of both. It depends what mood I'm in. Like, for instance, I like listening to current music. Like, I was listening to Doja Cat the other day because everybody's all hot and heavy into pop artists. And I love pop artists. Pop artists have a little sensibility. You know, they shake their butts. They play great music. They write these songs. And there's a whole little thing to it. You know, and I watch it and I listen to it. And I like to watch the videos and the imagery of what they're trying to. And I go, oh, okay. Damn, it's so catchy. But I do unpack, I do take it apart because I go like, wait a minute. Why I like this song is because of the hook that stole from an old classic tune, Walk On By. And it's good. And she's taken a great hit from back in the day that still catches our interest, any even young people's interest. Then she tops it off with a little bit of something current. And I'm like, so that for me, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what the kids are listening to. I'm like, okay. It's throwaway music to me. We won't remember it 10 years from now. We won't. I'm sorry. You know, but when you listen to something like Adele or I could go down the list. There's a lot of singer-songwriters that are so many. I can't even think. Ed Sheeran, you know, he's classically, I mean, he's a great musician. He could write a song in 5 seconds. You know, he knows the formula. For me, things I like to listen to that calm me, it's usually a voice, the timbre of someone's voice. If I want to get escape into just the nothingness, and I'm not tearing the music apart and listening to the production value of it from the studio and all the things that we do as artists. You know, there's some artists. I've always been a big fan. I know it's going to sound weird. I've always been a big fan of Sade. I can do that with her voice. Something about the timbre of her voice that gets me there. And that it can really, it's very relaxing to me. I can find that place in my head where I can just let it go. I'm not analyzing it. It's just smooth, sexy music, and I'm all in. There's great musicianship on those albums. And again, I find that I'm very drawn into people with soothing voices, you know? There's all kinds of voices. I grew up on rock, too. Don't get me wrong. My influences are huge. You know, I knew all the Iron Maiden albums and Judas Priest and, you know, AC/DC and Van Halen. I've been to all those concerts. I've been to every kind of concert you could ever imagine. I love music. I love country music. I love rock music. I love throwaway pop music that comes and goes, you know, the artists that will never remember are kind of like, oh yeah, I remember that girl from back from so-and-so, or that's the today's flavor of the month kind of stuff, you know, and I don't discard it, but I don't think it has longevity. So sorry, people don't like that comment, but it's true, but it has value. It's musical. It's different listening things. I can listen to things that I like to listen that soothe my soul, that make me not think about anything. And then sometimes I do listen to stuff.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this in 2 days, 2 minutes, 2 hours, 10 years, I know and recognize your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite, okay? I'm saying first that come to mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Wow, that's a great one. Woo! Ooh, I like you. You really thought about this. I do a lot of interviews, and so you've thought that one out. 5 songs I could play and listen to. Boss Gags, I Just Go. That's great. If you know it, if you don't know it, please listen to it. I think probably I already said it because I already said Bob Seger, because Turn a Page, and it's not that it's not overplayed and people will say it's a karaoke song now, but the beautifulness of how it was written for me was so influential to me as a young man, as a young boy, I should say, a teenager, that it still holds that place in my heart that I want to hear it. There's a Keith Urban song that I really like that kind of works for me, believe it or not, When Summer Goes. What a great song. He's such a smoking guitar player, and the beautifulness of his guitar. When I hear that song, it's so well written by Keith Urban. I don't know if you're into Keith Urban at all or listened to him much. That's When Summer Goes. I just guitar. Oh, man, I can just fall apart. You know, I love that sound of that guitar and that so much that I could play on it. And I could put it on right now. Oh man, I'm trying to think of something more rock and roll because you're going to find this really odd to me, but for me probably. But I was a big rock fan. I mean, like Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath stuff was huge in my as a teenager for me because I loved Ozzy. I liked he was crazy, but then when you dug into his writing, somehow Ozzy Osbourne's writing touched me, and I don't know why. And I remember him writing a lyric, and I'm trying to think what song it was, but because rock and roll is my religion and my law. I mean, I really remember buying into that line as a teenager, like, yes, I want to write and rock out. And I would want to hear that. It's like, these are the last five songs I get to listen to. I'd want to listen to that one. Lady Gaga, probably, believe it or not, I'm going to be really corny and I don't care. There's something about the Star Is Born soundtrack. I think that soundtrack was so well written, and her voice and her musical brilliance. I don't care what nobody says. She is not a Madonna or anything. That girl could play music and write music and sing her ass off. And I don't give two shits who you are. When I want to sit down and listen to something, I can put on that whole soundtrack. Arizona Skies. Oh, Remember Us That Way. What a great soundtrack. And sure, there's plenty more. I grew up on the Beach Boys, and I can go into all the things I should say, like Smokey Robinson and Motown. And sure, those are all big influences. And I already said Marvin Gaye early on. I mean, who the hell can't listen to him anytime, push a button?
That's the thing about music, is that it's just about diversity and being open-minded and enjoying each for what it is at that moment. And then now I know if I had to ask you the same question now in 2 minutes, you'd have another five song. So tell us about your new body of work.
Oh, so well, the album's been out for about a year now. Love Revolution. It's, what a great album to make. When I went into making that album, I wanted to make an album. I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. I didn't want to try to have this continuity where every song flows into the next song, kind of. I wanted to do like every song is its own piece of work. It's its own thing. They may be this way, that way, and it was fine with me, and it was fun to do it. It took a little longer than I wanted to, but I was able to create with some fine people that I recorded with, work with some friends. My label Warrior was real supportive of the music. Like Let the Player Play was kind of a throwback to kind of I don't know, a funk R&B kind of thing. That was fun to do, and then doing something more like Woman Powers. It's more of a straight rock and roll kind of, power pop. Rock and roll pop tune, I guess you'd call it, ballad, to a very smooth thing like Shirley Sweet. That was just, I'd never recorded a song that was just me singing with a piano and then throw a little cello on it to make it sexy. And I'm like, oh, I never get to do that. I'm going to do one of those. Because we had all these like production ideas that it was going to be this. I'll talk about Shirley Sweet. When you're in a studio, people start to have opinions, your producers, your executive producers, your label. And then you wrote the song, and I'm like, well, we had this idea that it was going to be this Beatlesque kind of whimsical Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band kind of song, and it's completely not. And we started to go down that road, and I said, "Stop it! Listen to me. I get where we're going with this production-wise." And I said, "But you know what? I wrote it on piano. I'm sitting, my piano's behind me, but I said I sat down at my piano and I just let me sit down and listen." This is what I wrote. And we were into production on the other version. And I called it. And I said, no, I don't know what's happening to my song. And so it was a fun album to make where it was the first time in a long time I'd stood up and said, this is how I hear it. Even though you think it sounds that simple because it's your album, you can lose some of that in the studio because there's people touching your art, your work. People are touching your shit, and they're influencing it and they're changing the dynamic of it. So this time I wanted to make sure I didn't lose any of what where I started, because my big thing is anything I write, I can sit down and play you on the piano or guitar. Acoustic guitar. I don't play electric guitar because I think that's important. A good song is a good song. And if I can't just sit down and play it for you right now, then I've created something that isn't what I started with. And I don't like that feeling. And I've done that before. I have an album and I won't talk about it too much. I think the production was good. I think the producer was good. But I think there's a couple songs that ended in places that I've now gone back when I perform them live to where I started. Cause I think, and I always go, oh, I should re-record it. But as an artist, I'm always writing. I got so many songs. I'm never really going to go backwards and re-record them. But yeah, so Love Revolution is the album that's out. Believe is the brand new single, which I like Believe. Believe is the song. again, that I wrote about a friend,
yeah.
I guess you'll say, somebody I dated. Single. I love the videos out right now. And, you know, I have lots of new material. I have so, you know, I have another single that's going to come out, La Di Da, which is a song about, I don't know, have you been on tropical vacations with friends before? And at some point when you're all sitting around drinking beer or cocktails, everybody always asks that one question. Why do we have to go home? Why can't we just sell all our stuff and just stay here, right here? Let's just not sell our stuff and we can have a little bar on the beach.
Yeah.
And we can just, you know, we could have enough money. We all, you know, you all start planning it out on a couple pints behind it and a couple cocktails. You start thinking this, the big plan, I call it, you know, and I've done it I've traveled all over the world and all kinds of tropical vacations. And it always ends in that conversation at some point. And it's funny. So I wrote a song called La Di Da. It's about just wanting to get away and kind of be in that place and that permanent vacation mode. So that's a single that's going to come out. So, you know, and I've got lots more than that. I mean, I'm a writer. I write all the time. I write every day. I play guitar for, you know, a couple hours a day working on arrangements or new songs or ideas or whatever. I even after all these years, I still enjoy the process, man. I love it.
Well, that's the main thing. That's very, very important, obviously, because it's your passion. Al, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
I think music is an amazing thing to create and to listen to, you know, and, you know, as a listener, I love listening to music, and people should recognize that if you're an aspiring musician, man, whatever you want to put out there, do it. You know, there's all kinds of different forms and ways to do it. I think art, it's just important to be expressive, you know, and I think, and I'm always appreciative to the audience. And then there's people that really just love listening to it. And I like to say, I love doing music. I love creating it. I hope that people find my music and find something they can enjoy. I like to call it music for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that everybody gets a chance to hear something I wrote, and maybe they could put it on their playlist, make it one of their five that they want to listen to.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.